Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am really honored to share the microphone with truly interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders. They may be virtual assistants. They may be authors, speakers. They come from a wide spectrum of business, and they have wonderful stories to share, and they are excited to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. Our topic today, it's an important one for, I think, small businesses, big businesses, and even, you know, people like me who run a virtual business. Our topic is hiring hacks, top hiring disasters, and how to avoid them and how to hire right the first time with Kathy Knowles. Now, Kathy is a speaker, a trainer, and a consultant who speaks on the 7-step system for creating more purpose, profit, and possibilities rather than running a business that's stealing your soul. We've been there. We've all done that. She works with entrepreneurs and small business owners to hire right the first time and have more loyal and dedicated employees and customers. And I'm going to ask her about that. Ultimately, her clients make the leap out of the day-to-day and onto playing in a much, much bigger playing field so they can do the work that's in their heart and leave their legacy. Kathy, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm so excited to have you here.
Good morning, Denise. I'm so excited to be here, too. I'm very honored. Thank you.
Oh, listen, we had, just so the audience knows, we normally broadcast each Friday, and my internet went down midnight Thursday, Friday. I didn't have internet most of the day. Just so everybody knows, I detest Cox Communications. I want to get that out there. So Kathy was gracious enough to say, yes, I'll meet with you on a Saturday morning and we'll get this done. So here we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to get it done somehow, right?
That's exactly right. So listen, you've got a lot going on. I mean, hiring is a big, big problem. It really is. Even in my industries, you know, the online business management, virtual assistant industry, and web development, we have to find candidates and hire. Well, we don't hire. Our people are contract employees, if you will. But I'm telling you, if you don't get the right people, your business can circle the drain quickly. So I know you've got a lot to tell us about hiring in all the arenas. So before we get started, Kathy, tell people a bit about yourself that I might have missed, and then I'm going to hush up and let you start talking.
Oh, no problem, Denise. Thank you. My journey, shall you say, started over 25 years ago, and I've always been a people person, so I was pretty fortunate when I sort of fell into human resources, but I was never really that typical HR person. I really stepped back a lot and thought about the team and how can we really collaborate and join together and make some amazing things, right? So I started in a recruiting firm, worked there for a few years. That really wasn't my cup of tea, but it gave me a huge wealth of information in regard to hiring and placing and how that works. Then from there, I went to go work for a private aviation company, and I was actually there for many, many years. And the reason for that is because I reported directly to the CEO, and I was able to be very entrepreneurial in that position. So nothing was there when I started, and I was able to create a hiring process, a review process, you know, we opened a gym. We needed things for OSHA training. So I set up the OSHA training room and all of that cool stuff. So loved it, loved it, loved it. And then about 3 years before I left there, I was really starting to feel uninspired, shall you say. So I started my own business. And at that point in time, it was more about women empowerment because, you know, I was already doing HR for 50 hours a week, right? And I felt like I needed something different. I did that for about 5 years and doing women's retreats, mainly working with women who own their own businesses. And it was all about empowering ourselves and really understanding who we are on the inside so that we could let it be on the outside, something really beautiful, right? And then I ended up giving my notice in 2014 to become an entrepreneur for real. And most recently now I've said, you know, I miss this whole HR arena because what was happening is the women that I was working with on the empowerment side who own businesses, they were coming to me for business advice. Whether it be human resources or, you know, I have to let this person go or there's this challenge in regard to this person that I need to hire, they were really, really challenged with the people on their team and creating strategy for that. So that's when I said, you know, this is really a very natural fit for me and I'm back to doing what I was built to do. And I'm loving it.
And that makes sense. Yeah, we all go through that. I mean, we create these businesses that fill a need, but then eventually you figure out that there's a bigger need somewhere else and you may need to pivot a bit. So it's not a bad thing.
And I think that's part of entrepreneurship, right? That's the beauty of this. Yeah, that's the beauty of being where we are.
Oh, yeah. I recreate my business every few years, partly because there's no more challenge, partly because I'm bored silly, and partly because new needs pop up. So, you know, you have to be able to be very fluid and very flexible as an entrepreneur. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is. So when you're working with people, I mean, one of the things that you said to me in the show notes and in the green room, too, before we actually went live, is that clarity matters. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand it, but I want you to kind of pin it down in my mind.
Right. So when we're talking about the top five hiring disasters, actually the clarity is number one and number two. And the reason why I say that is being the leader, the founder, the CEO, the president of your organization, it's really important that we all have clarity on our org chart. And as you had said earlier in the intro, Denise, it doesn't matter if we're a solo entrepreneur and we're hiring a contractor or a 1099 team member, or we're hiring someone for our payroll. It's all the same. And we need to step back and be really clear of who we are as a brand, who we are as a culture, and where we want to be in the next year, 2-3 years, because we're not hiring this person typically, even if it is a consultant, for a one-shot thing. We're hiring them to be on our team, to grow the relationship, to develop together, to really join in partnership to create something amazing. So clarity is important.
Oh, I agree. Do you think that's where hiring breaks down? And look, I am not suited for a job. Truly, I'm not. Number one, most businesses can't afford me. Number two, I don't play well with others, and I run with scissors, and I'm a little bit mouthy. So, okay, I'm a lot mouthy. But you know, there are people like me you do not want in your office because I don't want to be there anyway. But I have found during the few times when I did take a job, like when I was went back to college, I needed to, you know, work at a real job and go to college at the same time. Running a small business wasn't an option. It just didn't make good financial sense. But I found that people would hire on the most superficial things. It's like, yeah, she's got big boobs. Now what? And I'm not kidding.
Right.
You know, and like, did you look at this long term? She's chewing gum when she walked in the door, or this guy's wearing white socks. And I know that's not very, you know, not very kind, but white socks with a black suit. I've seen it. I've seen these things happen.
Yeah.
They get hired and you wonder, what is the long-term prognosis for this? And it never ends well. It never does.
It never ends well. And it's so interesting, right? Because people that are busy, the first thing they'll say to me is, I need an administrative assistant. And I love that. But you know, Denise, you're so involved with this. There's different types of administrative assistants today.
Yes.
It's like everyone now is coming into the world with a very specific specialty. You know, are they more focused on social media? Are they more focused on setting up travel arrangements? Are they more focused on setting up events? It's like, it's not, everything now is becoming so streamlined. So it's really getting clear on that, number one. And then I love what you just mentioned, because number two is getting clear on, okay, so I need this social media specialist, right? I need this person. They must understand Infusionsoft and all that type of thing. But now it's really, now that you know where you want to be, what your brand is, what your culture is, how you like to play, right? How you like to play in the playground. Now, number two is, what is it am I really looking for in this job and in this person? Because it's not just about the job. Like you said, someone chewing gum, all of that type of thing. What I found through my years in HR, it's typically that it's not that the person can't do the job. It's that their soft skills, their behaviors, their attitude doesn't work, doesn't fit.
Exactly. And soft skills are so critical.
It's a crisis when it doesn't.
And especially if you're talking about social media, and I do a lot of social media work for my clients, and the one thing that I am able to assure them every single time is that I am able to speak in their voice.
Yes.
I mean, I actually had a conversation on Facebook chat one time. I was in one of my clients, I was actually in his Facebook, you know, wasn't going through Hootsuite or Buffer, any of those, because I was setting up a business page. And I actually got into a little, I wouldn't call it a mini argument, but I had to convince his nephew that I wasn't his Uncle Jack. It's like, no, you don't understand. And then the nephew got a little bit offended, said, you mean this is not Uncle Jack saying all these things? No, sorry. So
right. It's
very important to find the person who gets you, no matter if it's in an office space or whether it's a virtual type of thing, and that they buy into your image, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure these are conversations that you have all the time.
Right. Especially because sometimes a solo entrepreneur will come to me and they won't get it, right? Like they won't understand the importance. One of my clients, actually, she is, she's a pretty well-known speaker, actually. She travels a lot, both here domestically as well as internationally. And she had hired someone that, this is before she actually started working with me. She had hired someone and they were doing a lot of her social media and they did not have her voice. So people know her. People know her to stand up on stage. They know her humor. They know her lightness. They know her point blank way of saying things. And then she hired this social media expert that was out there, not at all her voice. So she was finding that, you know, people were coming to her saying, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you, you know, are you switching up? You know, more or less asking her, has your brand changed? And she came to me and said, Kathy, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, the first thing we're going to do is let go of your social media person.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and find, which is terrible too, right? Because that, you hate doing that. And it doesn't matter, again, if it's a consultant or a contractor or someone that you have on your team, it's hard to let someone go. But it is part of what we have to do to get back to the bare bones and start again.
Like, my attitude about that is business is business.
Yes.
So I don't get offended if somebody says, Denise, this is not working out. It doesn't happen often. But when it does, mm-hmm. I don't get offended. You know, I go back and I look at maybe where I made the mistakes and I try to correct them in my own mind so I don't make that mistake going forward. But business is business. I mean, you have to make these decisions, because if you've got people coming to you and saying, you know, you don't sound right, that's a big problem.
That's a big problem. You know, and businesses grow and shift and change, and we grow and shift and change. But the most important thing absolutely is to have their voice. And I have to say, it's very important in social media, but it's very important for everyone on your team. Doesn't matter if it's a graphic artist, it doesn't matter if it's a wordsmith, it doesn't matter if it's your business development person. Everyone has to have your voice.
Oh, I completely understand that. I mean, and even if you're a receptionist and you're just behind a glass window, you have got to be able to represent your employer to the best of your ability. So people don't walk off and go, oh, I'm never going back in there again. And it does
happen. It does happen. It does. It's that overall feeling of energy, right? It's just the feeling of energy. Is this a place where a customer or a client wants to be? That when I had so many years in corporate, we were actually an award-winning company year after year after year. And you talk to our customers, and it would be because of our teammates. Our teammates were our best advocate, and our customers would keep coming back because of the team. You know, because there was laughter and there was fun, and we always hired within the culture zone. We never stepped away from it. And there were highly technical positions there.
Now, what do you mean by culture zone? That's a new phrase to me.
Culture zone is this sort of like ring, right? This zone of, shall you say, we're going to go back to energy. Everyone has their own feel. Every business has their own feel. You know, people step into Disney and they feel Disney. People step into Ritz and you can feel Ritz. It's not like it's necessarily something that they are able to put on a plaque, even though people try to say this is our culture. But really, the culture zone is that energy someone gets when they step into that place. That, you know, Disney is all about magic, right? Ritz is all about ladies and gentlemen, treating people like ladies and gentlemen. You get that feel. And that's what I'm talking about with the zone. It's not necessarily words. The zone is a feeling. It's like when you're in the zone playing basketball.
Right. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay, let's say that both agreed it doesn't have to be a brick-and-mortar business. It can be a virtual business such as I run. Where do you find your ideal candidates? I'm going to kind of guess that you have to have a pretty good idea of who you are and what you need for your team members before you can just really get out there and go, okay, this is what I want. I just don't want, you know, a virtual assistant. I don't want just a administrative assistant or a salesperson. This is really what I'm looking for in terms of personality, soft skills, hard skills. Am I on the right track there?
You are absolutely on the right track. You know, that's when I talk about clarity number one and clarity number two. Clarity number two is really getting clear on this position, because how can you really lead them if you don't know what you're looking for anyway, right? And it does come down to the skill set, and it does come down to their own attitudes and beliefs. And it comes down to as well where you are today and what your business is growing into, and will they be able to grow into that? So you're not really hiring. You are hiring for today, but you're also very much so hiring for the future. And you need to ensure that that person can do that. And the way you do that is really coming up with a strong and powerful, I call them performance plans. Most people call them job descriptions. And from there, going out to know where to find them. You know, so often people today think of, oh, I'll just put a job posting on Zip or Indeed. But you know as well as I do, there's so much more than that. Hiring that way, if you want to hire on more the contractor side, a lot of people think of Upwork and those type of foundations. But really, it's getting out, it's talking to people, it's going where they are, it's finding them on their own terms. That is the best way you can almost handpick the perfect applicant for your company.
Perfect. And I know where you're going with this. Can you give us some case studies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my clients, they're based in Atlanta. She had hired someone for business development, and this person was very good at sales. They had, you know, a strong understanding of sales. They were really doing well where they were before. They came on board, and Ellie worked with them for 6 months and didn't close a sale, She really felt as if within her space, she herself was failing, right? Like, I'm not training them right. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And the reality was, when she hired me and we sat down and looked at everything, because I believe in DISC profiles, I really appreciate understanding the totality of a person when they're coming on board with someone. So we had a long conversation and really were able to flush out why, as wonderful as this person was to be on the team, why it wasn't working out. So we got really serious. We created a strong performance plan. She became really clear in her mind what it was that she needed. And so when she started looking, all of a sudden she realized, oh my gosh, this position could be for one of my favorite bartenders. Now, it's not like Ellie, you know, hangs out at a bar all weekend long.
Right,
that's not
right.
The case. But her and her husband just happen to have this favorite place to go when they go out on date night, and they go there every couple weeks. And the reason they go there, food isn't actually great, all of that kind of stuff, is for this person. So the conversation started. And sure enough, from there, he's joined the team. It's going really, really well. He has this natural aptitude, because he had that natural aptitude when he was bartending. And it's a match. It's just a match.
So that's a soft skill.
Right. Yeah, that's a soft skill. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to go and hang out in bars, okay? But what I am...
Are you sure it's Saturday?
That could be so much fun, right?
No, I don't drink. But I know what you're talking about. There was a bartender that used to go... There's a very quite famous seafood restaurant in the town next to me, and it's become more of a tourist hangout than anything, so I don't go there very often. But for years, they were considered the best. And we always, as a family, ate in the bar because of this one bartender. He recognized us every time. He knew our birthdays. He was just hilarious. And when he quit and he opened up his own place, I quit going to that restaurant. The food wasn't that great. It was more of a tourist trap. It was the only reason we went was because of him. And, you know, I had forgotten that until you told that story, because it's been a long time. But I can see his face just as clearly as if I saw him last week. I mean, he was a great people person.
Yeah, and people do business with people. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So, but it really is about going where they are. And when I say that, it's like, so the first thing would be asking your tribe. I find it very interesting when we're looking to hire someone. And again, doesn't matter if it doesn't matter if it's a contractor or on payroll, ask your team, ask your mastermind group. Ask other people that you affiliate with. Ask people that you're involved in groups. I mean, what about Facebook? All those groups that we're involved in. What about LinkedIn? The groups that we're really, you know, really in and have conversations with. Those groups that we trust. Ask. Ask. Because that is where people know you and they understand and say, hey, wait, this could be a really good fit. So that's very powerful. Going to colleges can be very powerful. Looking for an intern on that side. Going to certain association groups can be very powerful. So for me, it's not necessarily about, you know, putting an ad on ZipRecruiter or Indeed or anything like that, although that can be very beneficial as well. For me, just like we're entrepreneurs, it's being out in the world and having our eyes wide open in awareness of what could work for us and who we could talk to about it.
So what I'm hearing is what I've always known. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Beautiful. And that's it.
That is true. I mean, we always knew that. We said, you know, I'm going to put in an application over here, but, you know, I don't expect to get it because they're going to hire somebody that was recommended by their mama's hairdresser, which, you know, it happens. And it's not a bad thing. You know, if you get enough recommendations, look, my business is run 100% on referrals, has been since the early days. I pay no advertising. I don't, you know, go out and troll. I'm 100% referral based. It's the best way.
Yep.
It's absolutely the best way. Yeah, I bet.
It is absolutely the best way. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I want to move on to the next thing because I see this a lot. You know, LinkedIn, you mentioned LinkedIn. That's a great, great place. It's business to business over there. It's a pretty serious place in LinkedIn. Facebook, a little bit more fun, but there's some great groups that you can kind of join and lurk around in to see who's doing what. I do this in the virtual assistants industry. I belong to a lot of groups. I'm not necessarily active in them, but I see who's doing what, and I see how they're responding to things, and I see what initiative they're taking, and I see how they respond to praise. I see how they respond to criticism. And when I'm looking for someone to add to my team, I know where to go. I've already lurked around a bit and watched them. I know who's up and coming. I know who's really working on getting their training. Yeah, it's a good thing. Social media is out there to help you with a lot of this if you pay attention.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It is such a tool in so many different ways. I think, you know, often people think, well, it's just a way to get my name out there. Oh, no. Just as what you're doing right now, Denise. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, social media it's a conversation. It's also a way to show people who you are, what you do, and how helpful you are. One of the biggest things that I find so beneficial on social media is how often people are willing to help each other out. They don't know each other. They may be kind of friends, you know, quote unquote friends on Facebook, but they've never really had a conversation. But I'm telling you, you put up a plea for information or a plea for help, and you've got 150 people with their hands raised saying, try this, do this, Google this. It's astonishing.
Yes, it's beautiful. Like, how often have you seen someone say, hey, you know, I'm rebranding. What do you think of this logo? And they'll post three or four or five logos, and they'll have 1,000 responses. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really
is.
So one of the things that you say is interviewing is not a conversation. I'm not sure I understand that.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of people.
I read that and went, what?
It's plain. So interesting because a lot of people say to that, what is it then, an interrogation? No, it's not. Really, interviewing is very interesting because it's not a conversation and it's definitely not an interrogation. But what it is it's storytelling time. And I say that because here's a prime example. One of my clients is a recruiting firm in Idaho. And, you know, recruiters are it's a pretty tough bunch, right? Like the personalities are sort of, they're still people, you know, but they're not necessarily really chatty. They would go a little bit more towards like a car salesman side, right? Like a little bit tougher. And so the organization that I work with in Idaho, they were hiring these people, and it really wasn't working because as much as they were friendly and personable and able to build relationships, they were not able to make the close. So isn't it interesting that a recruiting firm is hiring for themselves and they're not hiring correctly, right?
Yes.
So I started working with them. And we came up with some, because they really didn't need help with their performance plans. They didn't need help with any of that. But where they did need help is they needed help with their interview skills. They were allowing the interview to be more of a conversation. And in truth, it really is telling a story. And the reason why I say that is because when you create the right interview questions, you're peeling back the onion. You're asking them to tell a story about their lives. And when they can do that, you know, it's like it's an intuitive thing within you that, yes, they've absolutely done this, or no, they're BSing me a little bit right here. Like they haven't done, and that's okay too, because, you know, your candidate may not be, will not be perfect. You're going to have the great, and you're going to have things that you need to work on. So when I say this, it's really the interview questions really need you to be able to quickly determine if the attitude, the values, and the experience fits not only your culture, but what you said you need for the position. So it's all about asking these open-ended questions, right? Like, describe a time when, or what do you do when this happens? So tell me about a project. So to give you an idea, it would be something like, tell me about a time, when you had to meet scheduled deadlines and you were constantly being disrupted. So they're going to tell you about that time. And they're going to tell you about that time. So you know, is it real? Or, you know, you're going to read the BS monitor, right? And then you're going to say, what was the most difficult challenge about that? How did you overcome it? Were you happy with the outcome? So it really is pulling back, peeling back this onion. Like if you're looking for someone in business development or sales, because sales is really, you know, it can really be challenging. And you know that when you're hiring someone for sales, you've got to have the right person. So another great question is something like, what's the biggest deal you ever closed? So they're going to tell you that. You can tell they're telling you a story. How right does that story feel? How detailed are they? How confident are they when they're telling you that story? Next question after that is, how long did it take for you to close it? Who is involved in the decision-making process? How did you find that prospect? How did you find out about that deal? So in those four questions, you've got a really strong take on how confident, how seasoned, how is their attitudes and behaviors showing up for that one customer, that one client that they closed that sale on.
That's interesting. I don't know that I would be able to answer many of those without having to really sit and think, because I don't consider myself a salesperson, even though logically I know better. We're all in sales. I mean, three-year-olds are in sales.
Well,
you want to watch a true salesperson? Watch a three-year-old. They get their way. And they're brutal about it. They just get it.
Yeah, they're brutal about it.
They really
and, you know, so here's what I love. So you're saying to me, you're a natural salesperson. And yes, you are. I know that. And But
I don't know if I could answer those questions. Listening to you going, I don't know.
See, I think you could, because I'm asking you to tell me a story. I'm asking you to think about one client.
Right.
And I'm giving you the time to do that. So it's not like these questions are going bang, bang, bang. But I am saying, like, if I asked you, and I know because the business you're in isn't like my recruiting firm necessarily, but if I asked you something like, what is the biggest customer that you've ever worked with?
Well, I do know the answer to that one.
Right. So you would know the answer to that one. You would start to tell me that story. And then I would ask you, well, how long did it take? Like, how long were you working with them or nurturing them? You know the answer to that question, right?
Yeah.
And then how did you find them? How did you find that?
They actually found me.
Right.
Which is good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So the cool thing there is, of course, you know, that's a different conversation, right? Because
you're in sales, but
it's a relationship building. You're in the relationship building piece. So first you build the relationship and then you close the sale. Where in the recruiting firm, and again, these are just nuances. I've been doing this for a long, long time. In the recruiting side, they need to be a little bit more stronger on their assertiveness and stronger on their aggressiveness, shall you say, because they need to be able to ask for the close on that sale. So that's why these questions are more assertive-based, because they need to be able to answer that question for me. They need to be able to go out and get that sale.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And again, I'm seeing, you know, the corollaries between a brick and mortar business and a virtual business. I mean, we kind of have the same issues, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, I'm going to go back to that. People do business with people. So who you have on your team, whether or not you're a solo entrepreneur and no one else knows that you have that team, right? It's really important. And I mean, right now, Denise, I know that you can rattle off many contractors, many other entrepreneurs that you work with on a day-to-day basis, but they are your team.
Right.
You know, my IT person, I've been working with for 7 years. I don't know what I'd do without Teresa. I have a wordsmith. I have, you know, all of these things that come into play to help me run my business.
Now, and that leads me to my next question, because, and I don't really want to delve into millennials. That's a whole nother topic. But big other topic. But correct me if I'm wrong, in that many people will get a job or they'll be recruited for a job, but they don't really have any genuine intention of retiring there. They may say, okay, I've got a 2-year plan, I've got a 5-year plan. But, you know, going in, and I could be dead wrong, but this is just what I'm observing, is that, you know, they're going in with their own plan and it doesn't necessarily mesh with what the employer may want. Am I dead wrong on that?
No, I can't say you're dead wrong on that, but I would in some ways challenge that. And the reason why I say that is because if the employer is really being mindful of what they're looking for and they're in that space, remember when I said to you the very first important aspect is, number one, gaining clarity on your culture and where you want to be in a year. So someone can come on board and they can have a plan for themselves and say, oh, 3 years, I want to be doing this. Well, chances are that they could be doing that with your organization. When you're being proactive, when you're being super focused and moving forward and growing the business. So I think it's about coming to terms and getting really clear on where the teammate is and where the business is and seeing how they can truly go together. Having the flexibility to do that.
Right. And when you see somebody's not working, maybe move them somewhere else where they would work better.
Mm-hmm. And that comes down to really understanding people's personalities. You know,
right.
I'm sure you've heard of disprofiling and all that type of thing. And I truly believe in those. Not so much because, okay, we're going to hire this person. We're not going to hire this person because they don't fit the profile. It's not really about that, but it's understanding where a person is and where they're really feeling a lot of stress within the work environment, because it's not their natural ability.
That makes sense.
I say that, yeah, like if you have a people person that should be out in the world talking to people and you say to them, no, you're going to sit at this desk all day and you're going to be the bookkeeper, let's just say. You're going to take care of the books. Oh, a people person can't do that.
No.
You know, their attention to detail
is there.
It's misery. It's misery for everybody. It's misery for the owner. It's misery for the person. It's just misery.
You know, one of the things that, and I do have a team. I've had a team for years, and thank God for them. And a lot of them have been with me, one or two, a decade or better. I'm like you. I cherish them, and I take good care of them. They take good care of me. But you know what I learned early on? That I can't segment things. I have to actually give my team or the, you know, team members who may be involved in a particular project, I have to give them a big picture. I can't just say, okay, you know, Susan, you're going to do this, and Billy Bob, you're going to work on Infusionsoft. And they have to know what my big picture is so they can come back, because they're all professionals in their own right. I mean, they have mad skills. Look, and I make it a point to bring on board people that I can do the work they're doing, but maybe not at the level they're doing, but I have to know what I'm handing off. It's just a point of pride with me. If I'm asking you to do something in Infusionsoft or WordPress, I have to speak the language. I need to know what I'm asking of you. It just cuts down on a lot of big old messes. But what I have found is that if I give them the big picture, their genius kicks in and they'll come back with, hey, Denise, it's a great idea, but have you thought of this?
Yes.
Okay, I'm issuing orders. Do this. I want it back in 4 hours. That doesn't work. And it really doesn't work with pig-headed people like me who hires other pig-headed people. I'm just telling you, it doesn't work.
Where the whole team is running with scissors.
Right. And I attract those people. Go figure.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And that's what I'm trying to say about the first step, and you've done that, Denise, and your most important step is to know the big picture of your company, to know where you're going to be in a year, in 2 years. And, of course, that can change. We all know that, but at least you're giving the team, you're not controlling. You're not sitting down with Sally saying, okay, Sally, I want you to, here's this that you need to build out in Infusionsoft, and I want it to look exactly like this. No, you're hiring professionals, you're giving up control, you're saying this is a campaign that we are going to launch, tell me what you think, go run with it, and because they're more of an expert than you are, they're going to come back with amazing ideas, shortcuts,
all of it,
because we're good at what we do, but we can't know it all. We need to be looking at the vision of our business.
I know, and you said something that just made me shudder, and I'm sure everybody who heard it, you know, I just went, bleh, whole body frisson, but we have to give up control. I admit that was and continues to be a problem for me because I am, you know, I'm a high-functioning workaholic. It's hard for us to go, I'll just go in and do it myself. It'll take 5 minutes. Wrong attitude.
Yeah.
So that's a big,
wrong.
So do you have that, big wrong. So do you have that
big
conversation
wrong.
With people that, you know, you do have to trust the people you hire. It's important.
Mm-hmm. That's actually in my first step in what I work with them on with their own clarity. It's truly allowing them, you know, so many business owners, CEOs, whatever title you want to give that, they own the business, but it's like they're an employee in the business. They're not truly a CEO. They're not truly an owner because a true owner is working on the business. They're working on the big picture. They have released that control. They're enjoying their business. They're loving their business because they have this team that's backing them up. They're not working in the business. And that's really, I think, one of a solo entrepreneur going all the way up to, you know, quite frankly, where I worked in corporate. The CEO spent a lot of time working in the business, sit there till midnight working. And that's not where the big things happen. Again, people do business with people. You need to be out in the world. You need to be saying, this is where I want my business to grow. This is where I want to build a partnership. This is who I'd like to have on my team. This is how I'd like to give back to the community. This is how I'd like to live my legacy. That's really being a true business owner.
Right. So are you seeing a kind of a shift in how corporate America is viewing their people?
Yes. Yes, I am. And you know,
good.
We're so blessed to have, we're blessed to have organizations, whether it be, you know, Virgin Airlines, well, all of that, of course, or Google, or some of these organizations, Zappos, of course,
Zappos
we are all
always
familiar
comes
with that.
To mind. Yeah, that's where it started. Zappos.
That's where it started. And you know, to have those organizations that really do care about their people, go all the way back to Southwest. You know, they really do care about their people, and they allow their people to make decisions. It's interesting because one of the first things I'll hear from a business, and it'll be a business that probably has anywhere from 5 to maybe 50 team members, the CEO, the owner will say, the president will say to me, I want my team to be accountable. But there's steps that have to happen before a team member can feel accountable. And it's interesting. I was in one of my favorite stores, and everyone that's listening to this, I'm sure would say, oh, I love that place. So I don't even want to mention the name. But I was there, and I was talking to the guy at the checkout counter, and I said, you know, I feel so blessed and fortunate that I work for myself, and I can come here between 9 and 10:30 because you guys aren't busy, because it gets really crazy in there. And he says, oh, yeah, what do you do? And I said, well, I said, you know, I help businesses hire teams and really accountable and strong teams, you know, places where, someone can make a decision and not be afraid of making that decision, you know, for the customer, and places that are just really fun. And he looked at me and he says, wow, I wish it was like that here.
Oh.
And I said, oh. Now I'm so sad.
Well, but it's just one man's opinion.
It is just one man's opinion. But it's a man who matters, because he was there checking me out. And he talks to the customer all day long. And his position matters. You know? But the thing is, it's like, to have an accountable team, you have to build trust. And there has to be that feeling that we are all committed to that big picture vision, right? We know what that vision is. We're all committed to get there. And then the accountability factor comes in. And that
right.
is what you've created with your team, Denise.
That's oh,
why
yeah.
you tell them the big vision and they go out and knock it out of the ballpark.
Well, I just assume that in each of their individual areas of expertise, and many of them are like me, have multiple areas of expertise, that they have either come across something that I haven't learned yet, or they've got a shortcut, or they've just have a moment of genius that they're willing to share, and it happens all the time. I used to be surprised by it because I'm a control freak. I mean, workaholics are. You know, I admit that. I'm in recovery sometimes, but... I'm not sure how dedicated I am to that. But I did learn pretty early on that I can't have my thumb on everything, because it was killing me. I was exhausted. Things weren't getting done. My team members stuck with me, but I'm not sure how happy they were. I wasn't happy because I was trying to direct traffic, if you will. My business, that doesn't work. So once I gave
right.
up that control, and I'm telling you, the hair on my arms just rose up again. It's not an easy thing for me to say. But once I learned to do that, and I still have to kind of trick myself into doing it, the end result is always marvelous. I don't know why I have to trick myself into it. It's just part of my DNA, I guess. But give up that control and let your people do what they do. Let them work
right.
to their own strengths. It's tough.
Right.
I get it. It's tough, especially if you come from a corporate background, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially, too, if you have some, you know, you've given up the control and you have someone on your team that you're really counting on and it's not happening. You know, it's one thing if it doesn't happen once, but if it's not happening over and over again. And what I'm trying to say here is, you know, you've hired the wrong person or they're in the wrong role. That can be really exasperating, and I understand that. And then the control kind of steps back in, right? So,
Yeah, I've had to do that. I had a very loyal assistant for a number of years, and you know, she had some messy personal things going on. It was really affecting her work, and I had to let her go. Fortunately,
mm-hmm.
God bless her, we remained friends, but it could have ended
nice.
Badly.
It could have ended badly, and you know, something that's a real challenge, too, that I really want everyone to be mindful of is sometimes we just outgrow the business, the organization, just outgrows an employee or someone that we're contracting with, you know? We just
True.
Outgrow them, and that's okay. And that happens a lot. And then we think to ourselves, right, we play tricks with ourselves. Oh, but they've been so good. I can't believe it. I've worked with them for 4 years. I've never had this problem. Why aren't they seeing my vision now? And the truth is they can't see your vision any longer because the organization, the business, has outgrown them. And that's okay, too.
That makes sense. It does happen. Okay, so one of the things that I mentioned, and it's happened to me, so been there, done it, and I totally understand it. So, and I mentioned this at the top of the hour. Ooh, we're running out of time. We've only got about 10 more minutes. Ooh, talk fast. No, I'm kidding. But one of the things that you said is how to gain loyal customers, and that seems to be on the opposite spectrum from getting loyal candidates or good employees. So let's talk about that, because I think that's probably on a level of importance just as much as getting a good employee, or maybe more. I don't know.
Maybe more. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that what happens with your team, you know, when you've really built that trust, when you're not afraid to be transparent and have those hard communications, all team members, all of that, when you're really committed, the accountability steps in, and from accountability comes results. So now you have people that you're working with that can be really, really proactive in helping your customers, your clients with challenges they have. And let's face it, you know this, Denise, because it's happened to you. You are a referral-based business. So what it comes down to is your team members, your vendors, anyone that knows you, they become your brand advocates. They go out in the world and say, oh, yeah, well, you need this done? Well, you need to contact Denise because she is amazing. And I'm sure you have that. Your team is out in the world talking to other people, or there's
clients.
You have your clients that are so blown away by a specific team member that now they're talking to someone else saying, hey, go ahead and talk to Denise, but this is really the person that you need to work with in Denise's company. And that's how businesses are built. That's how the greatness comes in a business, because it's not just us. We can't be everywhere. Our team members are making hundreds of decisions on our behalf every single day. And by the way, again, it doesn't need to be a payrolled employee. It can be a consultant. It can be a contractor. They're out in the world, and they're talking to people about us.
I had a conversation with a client yesterday. He had sent me something about his Kindle book and said, hey, blast this out. And I looked at the book up on Kindle, and it was a mess. I mean, I immediately, and I'm no Kindle expert. You know, I can get a book up there if I have to, but I do have people on my team that I would rather have them do it. And I spotted 4 glaring inconsistencies just by glancing at, you know, what was going on. And I made an executive decision to not even go near that until these things were corrected. And I sent him a note and I said, you're not ready. This has to be done. Here's a list of what I'm seeing. Let's revisit this later. He said, oh, yeah, good call.
Yeah. You know, one of my clients, it's an aviation company, and those team members that work there are so good at what they do, they very seldom even talk to the owner anymore. It's interesting. They'll call, they'll talk to the team member. They have that one person that they know is their go-to, and they rely on them for everything. But the reason for that is because this person, again, has let go of control. The owner has let go of control. He can't be in the office all the time. So he said, this is up to you. You handle these clients. You know them well. You know, clients send them gifts and, you know, all kinds of stuff, because they travel all around the world. So, you know, chocolates from all these places. And but that employee is more critical to them than the owner of the organization.
Yeah, I see that in my own organization. Now, I have to ask you, though, because I do this, when you say that a lot of contractors or employees, you know, have a certain bandwidth to make decisions, I'm assuming that there's still a standard operating procedure in place that says, okay, you can go do this. This is how we operate. This is our mission. But, you know, don't give the company away. So
is
that
absolutely
correct? Because I have SOPs all over the place.
Yes. You know, all of this that I'm talking about now happens with systems and procedures. And, you know, just like you, Denise, I am a huge system and procedure person. And even with the hiring, I mean, this is a hiring process. This isn't something that just happens. Hiring is truly an art. It's a science. So is team collaboration. It doesn't just happen. You know, we don't just throw things at the wall and say, oh, that's going to work. Everything is a system and a process. And so it's really important that people know and understand how far they can go and what they can do for a client.
Right. And I love this conversation. Listen, we've got 4 minutes. Is there anything that you want to get in? I'm watching the clock going, man, that was fast. Is there anything that you want to share before we kind of sign off here?
Absolutely. First, I want to thank everyone who's listened to this. And certainly, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me at intuitivestrategies.com. And I know that's within the show notes. But also, I have a freebie for you that I've shared with Denise. But what it is it's a link, and it's my formula is called Find and Fill. And it's the 7 steps that I use to teach businesses how, from the very beginning, of creating that vision and gaining clarity like we talked about, all the way to the end of orientation. It doesn't matter, again, if it's a contractor or if it's a real team member, them coming on board, how to spool them up and get to know your organization. So feel free to go out there and get that freebie. And thank you again for being here and listening to me today. I'm really honored, Denise. Thanks.
It was a lot of fun. And I have to ask you before we go, you know, I interview a lot of people from all over the world, and, you know, they're leaders, they're, you know, builders. I mean, I am so blessed to meet with people on my podcast that, honest to goodness, I would not meet in the Walmart of my, you know, the shop parking lot of my local Walmart. I mean, I live in a small village next to the coast of, you know, Gulf of Mexico, and I don't get out a whole lot. I'm an introvert. I'm a highly committed introvert, so I don't get out a whole lot. But I get to meet people like you all over the world. But one of the things that I have found is that almost everybody I speak with has a morning success ritual. Do you have one that you'd like to share?
Oh, yeah. I am a very ritualistic person. I believe deeply in spirituality, and I love to go deeply inside of myself. So when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is a few downward dog sun salutations, okay? But then after I do that, I come into my space, my room, and I usually light incense, and I journal. I am a true believer in journaling, and I more or less set my intention for the day that way. I also meditate, but I do that late at night.
It sounds very similar to what I do without the dog pose. I can't do those. I fall on my face every single time.
Well, trust me, I am not. Our bedroom happens to be really big, and the blinds are open when I do it. And thank goodness no one can see in, because I am not the most graceful thing in the world. But at least if I fall over, I'll fall against the bed.
I've tried it, and I'm like, okay, why did I just fall over? It's just, I'm a nerd in stilettos. I walk around in heels all the time. I can't do yoga. Go figure.
But oh, that's so funny.
We all have our cross to bear, don't we?
So, yes, we do. Yes, I can't wear stilettos, so hey.
Oh, I live in them. You ought to see my closet. It looks like Nordstrom's threw up in there. Okay, so Kathy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. And as always the case, this podcast hour went way too fast, as I mentioned. And I thank you for all the wonderful tips and advice that you shared with our audience. And today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. And if you are looking for full-on business creation services such as web development, virtual assistants, online business management, social media marketing, and so much more, please visit Your Office on the Web. And more importantly, be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise. I had such a good time today. Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffith at officeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.